Dwayne Brummett here with Allie Alvarigo, SchoolOwnerTalk.com. Allie, you're doing well, I'm sure.
Yeah, things are great. Actually, for those people that are listening to it pretty closely to when we record this, we just celebrated Father's Day yesterday, so it was pretty amazing day. Got to relax with my little girl. I call her a little girl now, but she's getting bigger and bigger, 14 years old. And I know you spent time with your family. You got 2 days, so that was kind of cool. Celebrated with the relatives, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a wonderful time. So
I know, isn't it great? I mean, I saw so many really cool things written on Father's Day on Facebook, which was just amazing. You know how everyone really appreciates the fact that parenting is a blessing. You know, similar to the martial arts as a teacher, it's kind of like we live this career that enables us to not only have fun and do what we love, you know, and live what we love, but to also change lives on a regular basis. I mean, that to me is just so amazing. You know, so I'm excited that I can continue to do this. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she had said to me, she's like, you know, what do you think about retirement? I said, I don't know if I think I am kind of retired. I do what I want, and I do it at my own time. I don't really, you know, I'm not really forced to do anything that I don't want. That's pretty much the definition of retirement, except that, you know, I work all the time because I love it, but I enjoy it so much. I just, you know, I wouldn't do it any other way. How about you?
Yeah, I can't even imagine thinking about being retired, to be quite honest with you. I love to do marketing. I love to work with kids. I probably will be 70 years old doing the exact same thing, maybe just a little bit different.
Yeah, you know, interestingly enough, though, it's like I think that the definition of retirement has changed for us, right? Like the old days when my dad was a cop back in the day, I remember, you know, you put in your 20 years and you retire. Most of those guys went out and they started their own companies and did other things. Some of them, my dad's poor dad, when he was retired, he hardly made any money, and he was in the second highest paid police department in all of New York State. And he was making his pension at the end of the day up until like before he passed away was like $350 a month. I mean, so my dad said he started at $160 a week. However, anyway, you know, they would retire, and then everybody's goal of retirement was like to move to Florida and play like shuffleboard. And, you know, that's why people, I think most people would die soon after, because they were bored to death and they couldn't stand it and their life had no meaning anymore. To me, I think retirement is about doing what I'm doing, making money, still having a fun time, but not having that, you know, that career that someone is on my back every single day yelling at me to produce. I think the world is made up of more people like you and I nowadays, where people are almost independently contracting in a way. So it's a
I don't know that I could work for a company again. I would do it if I had to, obviously, but I think I would have a rough time. Although I think I would be a much better employee now. Not that I was bad, but I would be a much better employee now.
And you know what's interesting? I think, too, like if I did work for a company, I'd probably be running things very shortly. However, I think also, too, that we would move up the ladder real quick, but we'd take an entrepreneurial lead and role in that company, right? I mean, I wouldn't just be the guy making widgets all day. I'd figure out a way to make the widgets more profitable, and then I'd share it with the company. That's why I try to tell people, I don't know, even this might even be a topic we're on right now, but I try to share with employees and people who own their own business that, you know what, we only have a limited amount of time throughout the day that we could be productive. If we waste that time looking on our phone and, you know, surfing the internet or doing whatever to try to get over on the system, we're spending more time and effort doing that than we are that we could produce and be better employees and make the company more profitable, in turn step up the ladder. Because company people, I know this, I've never worked in corporate America, but I know within my school and my organization and my companies, I want people who excel so that I can reward them and they can move on and keep going up the ladder.
Yeah, well, you're kind of like, you know, what was it, Sam Walton, you know, where he was asked one time, you know, how in the world were you able to produce that many millionaires? You know, well, they weren't millionaires when they first started with me.
Right, right. Yeah, isn't that interesting? I mean, everybody thinks that somehow people just inherited this wealth. And by the way, there are some people who did, you know, that their families were very wealthy, you know, families, and they spread the wealth or willed it to the people. But, I mean, if you look at, like, most of the real billionaires nowadays, other than sheiks in you know, in other countries, I mean, if you look at the guy who invented, you know, Google, and the guy who invented Facebook, and the guy, you know, Microsoft, you know, and, you know, Ted Turner, and all these guys, they're self-made, you know, Mark Cuban, they're self-made billionaires and millionaires. It's amazing. I mean, they just had a drive and tenacity that was just extremely high, and they didn't give up. In fact, I think I just placed a quote on my Facebook page today. That was very similar to that, where, let me just take a look, I'll go to it while we're chatting, and it had something to say that, you know, was all about, you know, us making sure that we stick with things and we, you know, it basically never give up and having that tenacity, and that's what creates success, nothing else. You know, it's about your drive. And, you know, I say that to the school owners, and I'm sure you would agree that, you know, when I worked, when I started my school, I was literally, after I sold my landscape construction business, I was literally working from 9:30 in the morning till 10 at night, every night, 6 days a week. No questions did I even think about taking a night off. That's where I was. I would get in early. I was disciplined. People would always say, how come you always answer the phone? I'm like, I'm here. I'm the first one here. I'm the one working the hardest. I'm the one that's making sure that, you know, my future is set for me. No one else is going to do it. I have to do it for myself. So interesting that I think a lot of school owners don't really know how hard the most successful school owners work.
Yeah, they just see the success and wish they could have it. And, you know, and I've been there. You know, I wish that I could have it, and I didn't do the right things to get there. And the funny thing is discipline is a part of it, but then there is a formula to success. That's the neatest thing, is there really is a formula. You know, and then obviously you need to have a passion inside of whatever it is that you are doing. So, like for us, it's the martial arts, and you genuinely have to have a passion for what you're doing. You can't fake it, and people will know that you're faking it, and it just destroys your business. So, you know, that's why I tell school owners, like for me, and I said this earlier in the call, I really enjoy marketing. I like trying to figure out what's going to work, how it's going to work, how to reproduce it, and how to make it better. But not all school owners enjoy that. And that's okay. You know, well then, you know, you in that aspect, you need to hire somebody or farm it out, if you will, outsource it to somebody that you know enjoys it, that does it really well, that can do it for your school. And there'll be things inside of your school that you do really well that you won't farm out. Now, let me kind of maybe take a step back and say that, you know, I believe you never give up the marketing, but you can farm out or outsource aspects of the marketing. You need to stay in control of the marketing, because that really is the pulse of your school.
Yeah, and you know what I'd like to point out, what you're saying, though, which is, you know, you like marketing and building systems and watching it work. I kind of shifted from that mindset of being, you know, the worker bee, even though that I was an entrepreneur, I was working in my business so much that I could almost not see the business, even though it was a huge success. However, it took me some years, and it was some real serious habit changes for me to get to be able to work on the things like marketing. And, you know, now I actually have – I really enjoy the process. And I love money. I love money. I mean, but I don't love it in the way that most people think. When they hear that, they think like, oh, my God, greed, and that's all he cares. I actually don't even care about the money aspect of the greed and, you know, that kind of thing. I enjoy making money so that I could do the things that I like to do. But I look at money as kind of almost like playing a game. It's almost like a baseball player hits home runs. He loves hitting home runs so that he could tally up his home runs so that he could eventually be the one who hit the most home runs that season or that year or that, you know, that that lifetime. To me, it's the same thing. Like, I enjoy the process. I enjoy coming up with an idea, building the system around the idea, and then putting it into action and seeing it work and help others. You know, and that's what's fun for me. I really, really seriously enjoy that aspect of my business. Every morning when I wake up, that's what drives me. you know, you and I constantly talk about new ideas, and we're able to go, oh my God, this is going to be great. Let's do this. And then we make it, we put it together, we put our heads together, and bam, there you go. It's benefiting people, benefiting our students, benefiting the world at large.
Yeah, and that obviously is, you know, spawned from the passion that you and I have in those areas.
Right.
You know, one big passion, you know, obviously for you is that you really, and it's not that I don't enjoy it, but I know you really enjoy seeing our industry succeed and school owners succeed, because you want our industry to be known, well known, for its ability to be able to help people.
Yeah, and it's true, though. I have a certain passion for helping others in the martial arts. So I love helping business owners in general. I also coach and do business coaching for other businesses. I've coached Topsoil companies. I've coached, just like you have, I've coached yoga studios, which is kind of like-minded, a gym startup, you know, a painting company. And it's all pretty much the same. It's all, you know, related. The business is business. However, I have to say, though, our business, we do so much in our business to keep our students and the parents and the families happy, that in the normal business, that would seem like over-the-top, crazy customer service. In fact, I have a client that I coached, and she started a social media company, and she uses what we use in the martial arts, a 2-4-6-week call kind of system to see how the customers, her clients are doing. She sends out thank you cards, and she calls them up when she hasn't heard from them, and she stays in contact like we do, and they're blown away by it. They're actually like, they can't believe the customer service. They say to her all the time, like, wow, I've never experienced this level of customer service. And to us, it's like nothing. Even in the worst of the martial arts schools, we're doing much better than most other companies do when it in regards to taking care of our clients, maintaining their belt levels, making sure they know their material, communicating with them, holding events so that they can be part of a community and a culture. I mean, if you think about it, school owners really are almost – I've never experienced a business like it before.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you – sometimes I find myself, I'll walk into the studio and I just take it for granted. And there are times where it just hits me and it's like, wow, you know, this is mine. And, you know, I've been able to – and it's not just been me. I have great staff. I've had phenomenal staff throughout the years.
Right.
And so it's not just me, but – people have come alongside, and you know, you read this in books from Brian Tracy and other people that just say, you know, look, if you start going out, going after your dream, people will just, and even Tony Robbins says this, that people will end up just coming alongside you and helping you because they want to see you succeed. They want to see you go after your dream. I remember I was I worked for the Kmart Corporation. I was the assistant meat manager here, in town at this Kmart that had a supermarket in it. And, I remember being up in the front. I had to go up there to help, you know, some customer for something. And on my way back, there was a martial arts friend who I was telling him that we were starting a studio or that we had already started a studio. He knew that, you know, I was going to switch from being full-time here and go part-time there, drop my status as the assistant meat manager and just be a meat cutter again because I wanted to do this full-time. And he literally looked me in the face and told me, yeah, that'll never happen.
Right.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, I had read stories in the industry magazines of people that were already doing it. And I'm
like,
you can. And I didn't let it stop me, of course. And I didn't use it as fuel to, you know, show them up or anything, but it was just like, you know, don't sit there and try to destroy my dreams. And you'll have that. You'll have a few people that'll come alongside you that are jealous, that are whatever, that will try to do that to you. But there will be tons more people that will come alongside you and help you along. I mean, I have great staff. I got a great staff right now, and they've all come alongside me to be able to help me to do what I wanted to do.
Yeah, and then let me point out a few things to the listeners that you just said. Number one, you say that you have a great staff and you're lucky, but in all due fairness, the reason why you have a good staff is because of you, not only because of your training and your systems that you've developed, but also the leadership skills that you have. Because you know what? A company without a good leader could have the greatest employees in the world for a small amount of time, and then it'll all go to heck, you know, and it'll be destroyed. So, you know, I see it all the time. I've experienced it in my companies, and the right leadership, you know, you get one person who wants to take the bull by the horns and really control things and do the right thing. Other employees revolt, and they don't like that guy, and, oh, who's he to tell me this? I had it recently where I had to get rid of an old-time employee in my company because he just didn't want to conform to the new management that I put in place. And I'm like, I'm sorry, he is in charge. You have to listen to him. He's the one that's doing this. And that's the way it goes. And they just couldn't get along. So finally we decided to part ways, you know. So, but that's the first thing is you did that, Dwayne. So that's why you have such a great team. And that's important for people to realize. However, the other thing too is that, you know, finding the right people is not easy. And most importantly is because most of the time we're inbred where we breed our students and our staff and our instructors and our managers all from our student base, which is hard because we have this, it's almost like going to a specific school of Chinese medicine. And in order to practice that medicine, you've had to gone through that school specifically for years and years and years, and then you could teach it. Well, that's what I do in my system. I can't have instructors teach unless they're trained in my school, or they don't know my martial art. I can't hire someone from outside because they just don't know what we know in our system. It's that old saying, you don't know what you don't know. So, I mean, I give you tons of credit, and for those listeners out there, there's a specific way, there's a system that Dwayne and I teach all the time to our staff to be able to get them to be quality and see the vision and do well so that in turn they can help us run our schools efficiently. And that's where most of the focus should be.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. I guess it just seems simplistic when you boil everything down. I mean, you treat people how you're supposed to treat them. They will treat you back the same way. Not on all occasions, but in most cases they do. But like going back to what you said before, we've got the best business in the world because even though, yeah, we do raise our own instructors, the nice thing is we've got a relationship with them that is much deeper than you start out with when you just hire in a regular company.
Right.
And there's so much more loyalty and respect that's just put in there because of the way that we can develop our instructors.
Right. Yeah, and you're right, though. And you know, unfortunately, but fortunately, right, I say that because sometimes it's unfortunate and sometimes we're fortunate, you know, because, you know, if we ran a Starbucks or a coffee shop, it's not hard to get someone to come in and make coffee with a little bit of training. Some of the kickboxing systems that are out there now, same thing. You could train someone to be an instructor within a week because really they only need like 7 or 8 basic moves. They got to learn some drills, and the drills are something that they could learn and teach. However, the martial arts, it's a skill-based art, especially in my art, whether it be a wrist lock or a throw or a takedown or a name of a Japanese kata, you know, with 22 moves in it. You know, so it's a lot harder. So it's fortunate that we have great people. And in my school, I have a great bench strength because I've developed an instructor training program. We call it our ITP, Instructor Training Program, and TLCD, Team Leadership Character Development Program. And I teach that class almost every Saturday without fail for an hour. And I have about 35 to 40 people in that program that are anywhere from beginner age all the way on up to, you know, a beginner and rank and age young all the way on up to, you know, in their late 40s. To 50s. So, I mean, it's a program that people just love for self-development, and it helps me be able to, when this guy leaves or that guy leaves, to be able to call on them.
Yeah, when they're sick or what have you. But isn't it nice to have somebody that has a similar passion? You know, I know before in one of our other calls we talked about having owner's eyes, and I mean, that's what we're able to do is we're able to raise up these instructors that have owner's eyes as well, so they can see the things that we're seeing, and they have the same passion, maybe not to the same degree, but similar passion that we have.
Right, exactly. I mean, well, you know, you use that word passion a lot, and it is a big word in our industry, and I want to point out to people, too, that, you know, and here's the thing. I don't know if you've gone through it, Dwayne. I think we've maybe discussed this about me as well. You know, I've been doing this for martial arts. I started when I was 3 years old. I'm going to be 50 years old in February. So I've been doing martial arts for 47 years. That's a long time to do anything and still have a passion for it, and I still love the martial arts. My school has been open this year for 24 years, and there was a period of time, and I have to warn all the instructors out there, that it wasn't the martial arts and it wasn't the teaching. It was all the other side stuff that really demotivated me, like the parents and the complaining about the belts and this one quitting because they didn't learn that, and then not getting the holistic spiritual concepts of the martial arts about, you know, you keep sticking with it and eventually you'll be great. You know, people complaining about things that were just ridiculous in my opinion, that burnt me out a lot. And then, of course, the business side of it is pretty frustrating. And then the real thing that burnt me out the most was students that became employees that I put my entire life and soul into and took them into my fold and, like, treated them like family, how they turned on me at times. Not all, but some. But those some were enough to really demotivate me. So I got into a point where I was a little burnt out for a period of time. And it took me a while. I had to step back, take a breather, change my concept of how I looked at my school, and then wear away that feeling of burnout, reinvigorate myself and motivate myself to be a different type of instructor and a different type of business owner, and then go back in with full force and, you know, and then be there. So, I mean, it takes time. So if you instructors are out there and, you know, you've been a little demotivated, you know, and you may not want to teach as much, it's okay, though. You don't have to teach every class, but you have to find quality people to teach those classes. So shift your mindset in being the instructor of instructors versus the guy who teaches that white belt 3 to 5 year old class that's driving you crazy, or the kid that has autism, or that parent who's a pain in the butt, always picking on little things and, you know, complaining about this or that. You know, step back a little and be the owner, and then build an empire. That's my suggestion.
I agree that we all get burned out. I mean, that's why I implemented vacations. That's why we close probably 4 or 5 weeks out of the year. Well, more like 5 weeks out of the year that we close, because we Christmas time we take off 2 weeks, Easter, spring break we take off, or not Easter, the spring break for our school system isn't always on Easter, so spring break we take off a week, 4th of July we take off a week, but then when you have Memorial Day and Labor Day, I always close Monday and Tuesday, and then also on Thanksgiving I close Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then I just don't have anything on Saturday. Anyways, I'm closed on Saturdays unless I have birthday parties, and that's abnormal compared to most martial arts schools. But I always wanted to. Wasn't always that way. But in the beginning, I had Saturday classes, but then I was like, you know what? This is crazy. I'm gonna be off on Saturdays, and you know, maybe it affects my bottom line a little bit, but I don't think too much.
Right. Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because I think like that in a way, too. I mean, we close almost similarly throughout the year. And, you know, I always coach school owners. And I'm like, you know, guys, so the other day, just recently, someone taught, I forget what holiday it was, maybe the Memorial Day weekend. And they taught over the weekend, and I'm like, why would you do that? You know, and then they taught a little on Monday, and I'm like, no, you need to take a break. And I'm going to tell you, honestly, when I took a break initially, when I was taking a break, I was fearful that people would be angry with me. I was nervous that they were going to say, I can't believe you're cheating me out of a class. But yet they were thankful that I didn't have the dojo open because they felt no guilt when they didn't show up. And like, well, the dojo's closed, guys, so we're staying home today. And it was like a relief, you know. It's like when my daughter has school and for some reason we can't get there, she doesn't feel well or it's too snowy, I feel guilty that I didn't bring her. But when they close school, even though I might think that the roads are just as bad as the last time, I feel a sense of relief because I don't have that pressure to have to get her there. So people feel the same way, and they don't mind. However, if you're one of those people that close all the time for silly things, then that's something that you should change. But we need to, as business owners, you know, take those breaks. However, I've also, you know, found that I give myself the break, and I stay home, and my team just runs without me there. So, and then I give certain players in my team breaks throughout. And they, you know, other people just fill in. So it's like almost having a 24-hour 7-Eleven. Not everyone is there 24 hours. They don't sleep there and live there 7 days a week. There's shifts, and everyone works their time and doesn't burn out. So we have to think about our schools that way as well. Sometimes as school owners, we got to pass the reins. Parents are not going to hate you if you have someone else teach your classes and so that you could go home and spend the night with your family or someone else and so on. So I'm talking to all those school owners out there that overwork. You know, so, you know, just think about that too. Of course, make sure you don't get lazy as well. Big, big thing.
Right, but it doesn't diminish, and I guess I'm going to bring up the word passion again. It doesn't diminish your passion for, you know, the martial arts or for what you're doing. And actually refires you up because I can't tell you how many times I've had the week off and I'm ready to go. I mean, I'm itching. I'm like a week is almost too long sometimes.
Right.
And I need it, but you know what I mean? It's like it's I'm ready to go.
Right.
And that's okay. And I'll be taking, 10 days off coming up here at the end of the month. And, of course, we're closed for 7 of them, but I'm taking some extra ones, too, because we're going to go to Florida, and we've got a condo down – we're renting a condo down there, and we're going to go down there and, you know, spend the 4th of July down there.
Awesome. That's great, though. And you know what? That's the fruit of your hard work, right? That's where you're able to do these things. And I'll give you an idea. And again, I talk about I coach this and I did that and you do as well. But, you know, at the same time, I mentioned my clients and people that I've worked with only for the sake of, you know, conversation. But I had a client that worked with me for about a year and a half and or 2 years actually coaching privately, doing one-on-one coaching each week. And they eventually – one day after we stopped coaching, about a year later, he sent me a text message from the Bahamas or Hawaii. I forget where it was, some tropical island. And he's like, this is the first vacation I've taken in 10 years. I'm with my family sitting on the beach, and I just had to say thank you to me for helping him get there at that point in his school where he could actually go on vacation, but actually not only afford to go on vacation, but afford to take the time off and have a qualified staff having him, you know, help him run the school. So that's why I love what I do, because I'm able to help people like that.
Yeah, you know, you go back to, I told you I've done this where I looked at successful school owners and thought what, you know, if they are so successful, if it seems so easy for them and they don't, you know, what were they born with a golden spoon or, you know, a golden spoon in their mouth.
Right.
But it reminds me of the book, I don't know if you read it before, but called Good to Great by Jim Collins.
Yeah.
And I love when he talks about the flywheel, and it reminds me, it kind of reminded me when you were talking about the guy that you had coached where, you know, you work really, really hard for a few years, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, whatever. And then now you've created this flywheel that every once in a while you just got to go by and just pull down, you know, it's like I think of the flywheel as like the wheel of fortune. And, you know, in the beginning, you have those guys that are trying to, and girls that are trying to pull that wheel down. But once it starts going, all you got to do is just grab it every once in a while just to keep that same speed. And that's why it looks so easy, you know, when you're looking at these other school owners thinking, man, they make it look so easy. And it's because they put in the hard work up until the point where now they just got to, you know, and every once in a while they do have to buckle down and got to get a lot harder and push real hard just because there's different points in your business that happens. But once you get that flywheel going, it's just there's so much relief. But you can't be lazy, like you said. You got to keep that flywheel turning.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, too? I mean, it's real easy to get in your I guess I would call it the thick of things, in your routine, and be able to get in that routine and just get used to churning out the butter, so to speak. You know, when you go in, you know, you walk in, you do your thing, and you work, and you make your calls. And that's why my DNA that I have on my Next Level program is so good, because it literally tells everybody what to do every single day of the week, so that by the time the end of the month rolls around, you've covered everything. There's not a stone unturned. And the reason why I put that together is because it's very easy to get in a routine and do what you like. And at the end of the month, I always say there's not enough money at the end of the month, or it's not enough month at the end of the money, where, you know, you're at a certain amount of money and you're going, okay, I can't wait till next month check comes in, so that you have more money, when you should be churning, continuously working and nurturing that business. And it's very easy to get caught in this very lazy routine where we're, you know, because we're owners. No one tells us what to do any longer, do they? You know, we're in charge. We're the business owners. So we do what we want. If we decide to stay home, we can. If we decide to, you know, not work that day and have a white belt teach, we can. I mean, we'll suffer for it, but we could certainly do it. So it's important for us to make sure that we're always working on growing our business and making sure that we're doing the right things, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway,
as I say, that could be a whole other call about being disciplined as a school owner, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Dwayne, we have so much topics. And by the way, I got a few really cool text messages and emails the other day based on our calls. And in fact, one of my clients, who I coach on a weekly basis, listens to our calls religiously. And he's like, I'm doing this. You and Dwayne said, you know, I think we talked about rules in the business a few calls ago, and how we talked about, you know, a stern warning or a firm commitment of what employees have to do, et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, I implemented all 10 of your things that you talked about. And I'm like, really? What were they? And he kind of listed them all for me. I'm like, oh, that was some good stuff we gave out that day. And I'm like, wow, fantastic. So anyway, long story short, people are listening. And if you guys are out there benefiting from this, we appreciate it. I know sometimes people don't get engaged as far as reaching out to us and telling us. So if we don't hear from you, we still appreciate you. And thank you very much for being on the call. I'm going to cut it now, Dwayne, because I know we ran overtime and you're busy. You got to get somewhere. So let's kind of wrap it up now, and then we'll do some more crazy topics next week. But please share these calls with others so that we can help elevate the industry and, you know, for no pun intended, take it to the next level, so to speak.
Yep. All right. Well, I appreciate you, Allie. Appreciate our time together. School owners, we will talk to you next time.
Yeah, take care, everybody. Great day, and you know, make sure you run your business with passion and intensity. Have a great day.